We're going to move on to a little bit of politics because today a new story on the Atlantic Monthly website is providing a window into the Hillary Clinton campaign for president that I don't think anyone has quite seen except for those who were living it. Really shows a bit of a bitter edge among its player and some real dissension. Joining us now is Joshua Green. He is a senior editor for the Atlantic Monthly, and it was his report that was published on the magazine's website. Good morning, Josh. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you.
So you tell us, where do we start with this story?
Well, the idea for the piece is, the Atlantic is known for doing, long, deeply reported pieces. And we really wanted to kind of answer the question, what happened to Hillary Clinton's campaign? If you think back about 18 months ago, it was basically received wisdom that she would be the Democratic nominee and would very likely be the next president. And in fact, that it was sort of silly for people even to try and compete. And as we all know now, her campaign suffered this epic collapse. The idea with the piece was to kind of go to, current and former Clinton staffers, outside advisors, people they worked with, and try and figure out what exactly happened, not in a kind of an after-the-fact, blaming this guy or that guy sort of way, but we asked them for contemporaneous documents that would show what they were thinking and doing at the time. Internal strategy memos, emails, letters, even diary entries. And over the course of the summer, we managed to collect an awful lot of this stuff, and that's really the basis for the piece.
Josh, this is Catherine Lanford and for John Hockenberry. Who would turn this stuff over?
If I name names, nobody will ever turn anything over to me again. But let me just say that, because Clinton was such a favorite, because so many people expected her to win, not least the people in her own campaign, there was an awful lot of disillusionment and frustration with the way things turned out. And I think a lot of people on the staff really wanted the full story to come to light, to be able, for people to understand, look, this is what happened, this is why it didn't work. In some instances, I think the goal was to sort of pin blame on somebody else. But over the summer, we wound up getting enough stuff that you basically have the materials from all of her senior advisors. You have a lot of the email. You have the polling numbers. So you can really sit there as you click through these documents on our website and be able to see the same things that her senior people and that Hillary and Bill Clinton were seeing at the time and begin to understand what went wrong and why it went wrong.
So, Joshua, give us some specifics. When you talk about there was a toxic air among her staff members, who was disagreeing with whom, and how do you know based on what email or correspondence you came across?
Well, the main division in the campaign was a strategic one, and there were two competing camps. Her senior strategist, Mark Penn, and Bill Clinton wanted to run a very tough, negative campaign against Obama, much more negative than the one we wound up seeing. And some of the strategy memos from Penn get at this. They talk about going after Obama's lack of American roots, painting him as fundamentally un-American, that sort of thing. The other side of the camp, people like Harold Ickes and Mandy Grunwolfson, different ideas, and an approach that was completely the opposite. Instead of going after Obama, what they wanted to do was to run a positive campaign surrounded on Hillary Clinton. And the thinking was, everybody knows she's qualified, everybody knows she has experience, and she's a good leader, but they don't like her. So if we go out and run a campaign, show her in a good light, then voters around the problem.
Hey, Josh, are you on a cell phone?
You can't run both.
Josh, are you on a cell phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think we missed a little bit about what you said there, but essentially you're describing a fundamental split. You, just taking a look at your article, there's some quotes here that are quite interesting. I mean, there was a very frustrated email that came from Bob Bennett, the very powerful lawyer in Washington, D.C., who essentially told the campaign to calm down and for everyone to stop sniping and to get down to business. That was very telling.
Well, it was, and it was sort of ironic coming from Barnett, who is, famed for being kind of the stereotype of the sober and discreet Washington wise man. What it shows is that the fight over these competing strategies became so intense and so personal that it spilled out into the media. And while the campaign was going on, instead of the focus being on Hillary Clinton, it began to be about her feuding advisors. And that's never a good thing if you're trying to run for president.
I also want to know, wasn't there something, what did you find out about the president, President Clinton? He wanted to be a lot more aggressive, I think.
Yeah, and if you look at some of these memos that Penn wrote, a lot of these things Bill Clinton supported. I mean, all along, and I think you get a sense of this from Bill Clinton's public comments then and now, he was very angry about the fact that Obama was even really being considered as a nominee. One of the interesting episodes in the piece is that it was actually Bill Clinton and not Hillary Clinton who okayed Mark Penn's infamous 3 a.m. ad, the one where the phone rings in the middle of the night, and that was one of the most hard-hitting ads that the campaign ran, and that came directly from Bill Clinton.
And you have a quote here from Mark Penn, just talking about Obama's electability, quote, unelectable except perhaps against Attila the Hun. There was a real sense that there was just no way this Obama guy, at least in the beginning, could beat their inevitable nominee.
It's absolutely right. And one of the most fascinating things about all these documents as you read through them is the realization that you'll get, reading them now in hindsight, that the Clintons did not see this coming. They never allowed themselves to believe that Obama could really beat them. And as a result, I think they were always, you know, one step behind, one step slow, and could never really agree on how to challenge him. And in the end, that cost her the nomination.
And how would you describe the fall off? I mean, there seems to be a lot of disagreement about the money and how the money was spent.
Yeah, well, another interesting tidbit in here is, according to Harold Ickes, one of her senior advisors, the plan had been to have a $25 million reserve fund for after Iowa. They wound up burning through all that money, and after Iowa, when the campaign desperately needed money to come back, to fight back, they were essentially bankrupt, and that's one of the reasons why I think they fared so poorly in February and wound up losing those 12 races in a row.
Joshua Green, a fascinating story. Thank you so much.